fever down in my soul, that alpha fever.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to First Impulse. I am Mike Richardson of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Pi Upsilon Lambda Chapter. I am joined today by my dear brother, Spring 24 Initiate, the Reverend Dr. Bobby Manning.
What's up, bro?
Good to see you.
Man, grateful to be on First Impulse, man.
So let's get into it. This episode is about denouncing. And just as a baseline, we are both Greek members of Alpha Phi Alpha. Mm-hmm. You are a pastor. You received your D-Man. I am not a pastor. I'm a pastor of teaching at a church, and I received my master's in theological studies. So mm-hmm. we're both Greek. We are both educated or received theological education. So let's talk through some of these things. First, baseline, the Divine Nine. For those that don't know, if you listen to First Impulse, I hope you do. The Divine Nine is nine. It's a collection of nine Black Greek letter organizations in the National Panhellenic Council. Those organizations are Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority mm-hmm. Incorporated, Kappa Alpha Psi mm-hmm. Fraternity Incorporated, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity mm-hmm. Incorporated, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated, and Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated.
Well done.
I feel like I'm back online. Look, so those are those
I'm just
are
glad
the nine.
You didn't ask me.
So those are the nine. The nine organizations share similarities in terms of what they do in the community. They service predominantly Black communities. I'm not exclusively Black, but the communities that they find themselves in. They do that through various means. They boast leaders from all walks of life, mm-hmm. from pastors, ministers, clergy, lawyers, doctors, engineers, teachers, educators at all levels. Mm-hmm. And so these organizations are in the community doing the work, and a lot of that work aligns with the work that the church should be doing. And so that is the Divine Nine. This trend that we're discussing is the denouncing trend. That is not to be confused with renouncing. Renouncing is when you declare privately to yourself mm-hmm. that you no longer agree with or participate in right. anything. Denouncing is when you do that publicly.
Right.
So it's the same act. One is private, one is public. We are talking about this trend, spate of videos that are going around regarding denouncing, which is specifically Greek letter organizations, and in some cases, historically Black colleges and universities, HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So people are making videos denouncing these things, no longer participating in them. I don't know what that means for an HBCU after you've graduated. I don't know if the degree goes back. But that's what we're seeing on social media. It's caused a lot of discussion about this practice. Some people getting into the habit of sharing some of the secrets of these organizations. And these are secret organizations, meaning there are elements to them that are not open to the general public. You only encounter them should you choose to become a member of a respective organization. And those things are kept, and they're personal and important to those organizations. And they're kept secret for reasons, but not malicious reasons. And so some people have been exposing some of those secrets as part of the denouncements. We will not be discussing any secrets today. We only know the secrets of one organization anyway, and we're not going to get those away.
Right.
But let's talk through some of the issues, things that you've heard or that are similar in some of these videos. All right, so what type of things, Brother Pastor Manning, are people asserting in these videos?
A couple of things are jumping up. One of the things that we're hearing regularly is a commitment or a connection to Greek false or idol gods. And that's one of the things that kind of keeps popping up. Obviously, it's a major sticking point. And I think I understand where folks are coming from. If you don't understand the symbolism, the background, what Greek organization. We're not, I think one of the first things that, shout out to Mr. Alex C. Bailey, one of the first things that he said is that Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated is not a Greek organization. It is a Black Greek letter organization. And there's differences there. But there's an assumption, I think, that there is an allegiance to Greek gods. And so just understanding what's happening there and understanding why folks are having those concerns, I think, is an important thing to be an active listener to folks who do have concerns and are denouncing publicly, etc. And so that's one of the things. What are you thinking in that regard?
It seems like there's a desire to paint these things as worshiping these gods, and that's not the case.
It's not the case.
We wouldn't be doing it. Right. Our dear brother, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, would not have been worshiping Greek gods. That's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. Identifying with the trait of someone or something is not uncommon.
And it's not worship.
Right. So, for instance, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Mm-hmm. The Raven is from an Edgar Allan Poe story about the Raven. We're not worshiping the Ravens as Ravens fans. That's just that mascot of that organization. You do this in a lot of spaces in life where you identify with a particular, let's say, animal or something like that. Mm-hmm. The traits of those things become things that you kind of hold dear.
Yeah.
And so that's far from worship. So we just got to be careful when we're calling things worship.
Yeah, I think the important thing just for us to remember is that there's that which we, I believe, would take as symbolic has been mistaken for spiritual. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things about Black Greek letter organizations, and I think both of us can say this, we really can only speak as members of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And we don't speak for Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. But as members, here's what I know. I know that there are all types of symbols, and all of those symbols have meaning and significance. For instance, the Sphinx of Giza is a symbol for Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. No one ever told me that I had to bow down to the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. But we know what the symbolism of the Sphinx is for our fraternity, and it's an important symbolism. But at no point is it submission, and no point is it worship of any of these symbols. They're symbols for a purpose.
One of the things to understand is an uninitiated lens gives you certain things. So, for instance, Christians participate in the sacrament of communion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sacrament originated in the Catholic Church with their nine sacraments. For the Catholic, the transubstantiation means that you believe that those elements, the bread becomes the body of Christ, the wine becomes the blood of Christ, and Christ is literally in those elements as you consume them.
Right.
So for someone on the outside, what that could look like is you are eating the body of Jesus. Cannibalism.
Right.
Vampirism, you're drinking the blood of Jesus. That's their belief. They have reasons that they believe that. That takes a little bit of change in Protestantism, but the ordinance is the same. The sacrament is the same. So when you're uninitiated, things look different.
It sounds weird to somebody outside of the Catholic Church or in Protestantism.
Right.
Don't believe in transubstantiation, but even still, it sounds weird. It's not easily understood by someone who does not completely connect with the culture or with the religion or with the practice overall.
So what's different is the people that are denouncing are initiated. So they've gone through a process for whatever their respective organizations are, and they start to understand something. Mm-hmm. Thing is, just like with transubstantiation, most Christians don't know that that's a thing until they learn that it's a thing. Mm-hmm. They've been initiated into the faith and may not learn what these elements do, how they function until much later. Likewise, with some of the denouncers, what I've noticed is there's a newness to it. Either they're coming back to the faith or they're coming to the faith for the first time. And that brings with it a fair amount of zeal. And so they're starting to learn things and may not have all the language or understanding of everything, so it operates similarly to an uninitiated person, because even though you've gone through these rituals, there's a level of understanding that has not been achieved on one side or the other.
Sure.
And so you start to do things, especially with Christianity. All right, here's the thing with Christianity, and these are not These are not Bobby Manning's views. These are not the views of Alpha Alpha. These are the views of myself as an educated theologian. Christianity spread certain ways, and one of those ways it spread was through conquest, through the Roman Catholic Navy, and through the English and Spanish crowns partnering together to go into other lands. When they went into these other lands, they would see other peoples who had other faiths, and those other faiths, those Christians were uninitiated in, and so they viewed them as demonic. Mm-hmm. Even though there are many cases where those faiths operate in the same way. So, for instance, they would look at a shrine that someone would have to their ancestors and call that demonic, and then go back into the church and have a communion table, which operates exactly like a shrine does. And so there were things that were going on that, because they didn't understand, they called them demonic. So when I see some of these videos talking about demonic rituals and things like that, that is a hallmark of Christianity that says, when you don't understand a thing and that thing is different than what you believe, it is easy to label it as demonic. So, how is it that the denouncers, the people who should be understanding both sides of these things, are labeling one side demonic?
You know, I think it you kind of alluded to it, even as you engage the checkered history of the spread of Christianity, is the reality that it's a lack of understanding on either side. It's the reality that I can easily demonize something I don't understand. I can easily dismiss something that I don't fully grasp or understand. And I think that's one of the things that has been a beautiful part of my journey over the last 2-3 years specifically, but really over the last decade casually, is looking, peeking over the fence of Alpha Phi Alpha, going into deep study. You know this. You can't enter into Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated without doing a deep sense of study. And I think one of the assumptions that have found its way into my DMs recently is that I don't know, that something has been hidden from me spiritually. Something there's something I don't know yet. Someone specifically said to me, you need to do more research. And I'm like, what research are you referring to compared to your research, meaning the YouTube videos that you've watched? I had to fully engage the history of this organization. And so when you say to me through a YouTube camera that the origin of your fraternity is this, I can say to you, wait a minute, I read the history. I know that the origin of this fraternity is that. And it's but again, it's easy to look at something and demonize. Now, I don't think we can just blame Christians for this. Humans do this. That mm-hmm. if you're not on my side, then you're on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. And it happens everywhere, not specifically in Christianity, although you're right in that sense.
Now, if we were talking about this trend of videos, the commonality is that Christianity occurs quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so let's talk through some of the things that I've observed about these. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we've seen denouncing of Black Greek letter organizations. We've seen denouncing HBCUs. And you have to wonder, as many have wondered, why are we denouncing these Black things only, exclusively?
You know, I thought that the denouncing of the HBCU was a spoof when I first saw it.
May have been.
Like, I don't know that it was.
I don't even know how you do that.
But as I'm listening to it, it sounded like a spoof, as if to say, hey, if you're going to denounce that, you got to denounce this, and this is how ridiculous it sounds to denounce this. But okay. Then I think the person was serious, which confused me.
So I have a theory on that that I'll bring up later. But let's deal with the Black Greek letter organizations. Mm-hmm. I don't see any denouncing videos on Lions Club or the Rotary Club, mm-hmm. or Masons, not the Prince Hall Masons, the other ones that didn't allow the Prince Hall Masons into the Mason. Mm-hmm. So I don't see this. And so if God is the one that is speaking to these people saying denounce, why is God only saying the things that are Black need to be denounced?
Yeah.
That is a obvious question. Now I did, Mark Lamont Hill did a panel. It's a very good panel on this topic. And the person that he had, the young woman that he had, would repeatedly say during that panel that it's not a color thing for them. Mm-hmm. But just because it's not a color thing for you doesn't mean it's not a color issue or race issue underlying mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying that God is the one speaking, then you have to ask questions about that God to say, God, what about these other things that probably we should be denouncing, instead of these organizations that are actually doing work that looks like the work that you told us to do.
Right.
So that's one of the big issues that I have. On the other side of that, there's an education component. I just noticed. So I want to be careful about any argument towards elitism here, but education does matter.
Yeah.
For instance, if we had a serious diagnosis, we would not want to go to a doctor who was did not complete medical school, did not complete a residency, did not take a Hippocratic oath. You know, there are certain things that you want in these things. And for Christians, belief in some cases is more important than what happens to you physically, because what happens to you physically in this life passes away, but what happens based on your beliefs lasts for eternity. So these beliefs are intimate, they are important to us. So why would you risk that on someone who wasn't educated, who did not? Because I don't see educated clergy denouncing. I don't see Pastor Howard John Wesley at St. Alpha Street. I don't see him doing it. I don't see educated people doing it. Like I said, Martin Luther King, no problem with it. These are people who, like I said, are new to their faith or returning to their faith. They have a lot of energy and excitement and not as much understanding making these pronouncements. That really does matter.
Sure. And education matters. I think it's important to understand that that a call to ministry is a call to preparation, and we have to be committed to growing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to go to seminary, but it does mean that we have to have a strong background in our education in order to rightfully divide the word of truth, in order to counsel and encourage other brothers and sisters in the faith. If we're going to be in a shepherding or a teaching role, the text, the Bible clearly teaches us that that not many of us should become teachers, because we will incur a more strict judgment. And we're in a season, we're in a culture where you don't need credential in order to be a teacher. All you need is a podcast mic and a camera. And so, yes, there's a lot of folks who have who have great opinions that get a lot of views, and in our influencer culture, that makes them an expert, when in reality, that's not the case. And yeah, the conversations like this are nuanced and deserve truth. They deserve counter argument, and they deserve to approach it from a very, very educational perspective, not just from I don't want to be dismissive, but from an emotional perspective. And a lot of what I'm noticing about the denouncement denouncing videos is that there's a lot of emotion attached, and emotion has its place, but it also has to be merged with a lot of rationality and a lot of education. I'm realizing that, man, the people who are saying certain things, it's like, okay, it doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like when you came in, you got your letters, you got your colors, you got your nailia, you got your line name, but you didn't tune in on the education part of it. So it's not only biblical theological education, it's also education about the fraternity or sorority that you joined and are now denouncing. Did you get the full understanding of what these things mean? For instance, the symbols. There are all kinds of questionable symbols in our culture, and we embrace them anyway because we know we're not worshiping them. Everything from Nike was a Greek god. The siren on the Starbucks cup was a Greek god. And we utilize and we commit and we connect with a lot of these symbols without knowing what they are. But the reason why we don't make a deal out of it is because we know that we're not worshiping it, but we understand what the symbol means and what it symbolizes.
So there's an element of humility that I also find missing through this, and that humility shows up like this. If I were to start dating someone and I really enjoyed spending time with this person, and like 2 weeks in, it's exciting, we're talking all the time, we're spending all our time together, we decide that we're gonna get married. That's if I decide based on those things, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a mistake.
Yes.
There are other things that I need to see.
Sure.
And so when you first join an organization, everything looks great. You're mm-hmm. in that first couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then if you stay in long enough, you'll start to see some things. Mm-hmm. Likewise, if you are new to the faith or returning to the faith, you're starting that dating process again. And so making major life decisions during that phase is not advisable. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be humble in the idea or the aspect that I'm new to this.
Yeah.
Let me see what else is there to learn before I start making proclamations, declarations about whatever this thing is. They may be the greatest person in the world, but I don't know what's going to happen when we get in an argument,
right,
when I disagree with them, you know, things like that. So there's a humility that is lacking regarding oaths. I did mention earlier, we do want physicians that take a Hippocratic oath, an oath against doing harm.
Mm-hmm.
Oaths are part of it. That's come up in a lot of the videos. We expect people to take oaths.
Yeah,
we do it in every place in life.
It's weird because it's this blanket statement that the Bible tells us that we should not take oaths. And that to me, again, to your point, is a misunderstanding of what the scripture says about oaths. And a dishonesty, in a sense, to the fact that we take oaths all mm-hmm. the time,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the president taking the oath of office or it's me in a courtroom as a witness taking the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or making a vow at the altar to my wife mm-hmm. to love her in sickness and health, for richer or poor, till death us do part. We take oaths all the time. The instruction of scripture is that we should let our yes be yes and our no be no, that we shouldn't have to swear to God or swear to the dead in order for someone to believe us, because we live a lifestyle of integrity and honesty. And so to me, it's a misunderstanding as I'm listening to it, again, trying to listen honestly and fairly. It seems to be just a misunderstanding both on the biblical side of what the text is actually saying when it says don't take oaths, and then also what we said when we took an oath. And I the people who are listening can't see me use air quotes. We took an oath to live and live out the principles of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, which the fraternity makes abundantly clear what those are.
Mm-hmm.
Manly deeds, scholarship, love for all mankind. The idea that we are the type of men who serve the world and represent our fraternity and ourselves extremely well. To me, that's the oath. That's the vow that I made. And to me, Mike, that's no different from the oath that I had already made to the world as a pastor, as a Jesus follower. That's why, for me, if people say, well, joining a fraternity will pull you away from your faith. Man, I've been on this journey for a little while, and I went into it very, very soberly and looking around every corner and underneath every rock. You know this because you were on that journey with me as a coach during that time. And it was my faith that led me to this. It was my faith, because when you look at the motto of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated and you look at the instruction that Jesus gave to be first servants of all, there was so much overlap there that I had no problem making a commitment. That's the word I think we're looking for. We made the commitment to live that lifestyle. Well, guess what? I had already made that commitment years ago. And so to do so along with other men of this fraternity was only an affirmation of the commitments I had already made.
A friend of mine, Reverend Dr. Asa Lee, who is now the president of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, we had a conversation about this a few years back regarding the oaths. And his point was, you don't just have one oath to give. If you did have one, that's different.
Right.
But as you said, you commit to a lot of different things, you know, your marriage. If you're in the military, there's an oath there.
Yeah.
If you're in law enforcement, there's an oath there.
Absolutely.
There's an oath there. If you go to court, you don't just have one. Yeah. So
oaths
it's not everywhere. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's only a problem if you choose to ignore everything else that is an oath that you take.
Right.
When you sign for a mortgage, that is an oath.
Right.
So before I get to the end of this, because this is not going to be a long conversation, because as you said, it's nuanced, and I do have a lot to say, but I'm not going to hold you. One of the things that is interesting, and I talked about this theory earlier, I mentioned it, we don't understand what is behind this spate of denouncing videos. We just know that they seem to be occurring more frequently now than they have been. Okay. As I'm thinking through what we are in the middle of, we are in the middle of a presidential election cycle. Now, I can contrast that with 2015, 2016, when we were going into that election. We know that there was a documented effort by foreign interests to divide our particular community.
Sure.
And so there was a lot of media fake accounts drawn up to get a lot of debate amongst ourselves regarding, you know, is Hillary or Jill Stein? Is it? No, I don't. And what that ended up doing was dividing this vote, dividing these people who typically have voted together.
Yeah.
It is not lost on me that we are in this cycle, and the things that we are being shown are not always things that we choose to see.
Okay.
And so it is possible that we are seeing this more frequently now than we would a year from now when we are out of this cycle, because this thing divides us. This thing says we're going to take one institution in the black space and hold it and pit it against another institution, two organizations that do similar work, but we're going to place them at odds. And so now we are disagreeing where we should be agreeing in this very important time. That's especially important when one of those entities, the Black Greek Letter Organizations, focuses its efforts on voter education, voter turnout. When we are positioning ourselves to be distrustful of those organizations, those efforts will be less effective during a period where that critical voting block is needed, and we could find ourselves in a similar position as we did in 2016.
Okay.
So that's, as I think through why we're seeing this so frequently, I mean, of course, there are real people doing these videos and things like that, but I'm being shown too many things that I don't like, and it's reminding me of a time 8 years ago when this was occurring. So I believe that denouncing your Black Greek Letter organizations is your choice, and it is a poor choice compared to some of the other things.
I'll say it this way, Mike. I think some people should denounce if they are convicted to do so. I mean,
that's true.
Excuse me for using the Kevin Hart term, but like, yeah, for me, it's a do you boo boo. Like, if that's what you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and if for you, your involvement in your organization, whatever organization, has become an idol to you, then yes, anything that has become an idol to you, you should release and submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. I believe that as a believer and as a preacher, anything that for you has become an idol, and I think the scripture is clear. If that is your conviction and you don't do it, then you have gone against your conviction, and that is sin. My problem is when a rule becomes a rule for you, and then you turn around and make it a rule for everybody else. We have a word for that. It's called legalism. It's when I make something that is a personal conviction a corporate conviction, and there's something wrong with you if you don't do what I did, even though what I did was a personal conviction that was that I found necessary for me, but not a clear issue that's addressed in scripture. So that's where I'm at with it.
That is a very pastoral answer, and I would expect nothing less from you, Pastor Manning. Unfortunately for some of these listeners, I am a theologian, and so I look at things a little bit differently.
Sure.
One of the ways that I look at things is that the things that we say about God say something about that God.
Okay. Sure.
So, as we brought up earlier, if your God is only telling you to denounce black things, we need to interrogate that God. Mm-hmm. Why is that God only pointing at those things as opposed to all this capitalism that's going on, enslavement is still going on, all these other things? So, if God is only speaking about denouncing your Black Greek Letter organization, I have to ask.
But not speaking about your other idols.
Right. What is wrong with that God? Yeah. What is that God saying to you that you don't speak about a genocide that is occurring on the other side of the world, mm-hmm. whether we're talking about in Palestine or Sudan. Mm-hmm. Why is that God not speaking about those things? Mm-hmm. If we're not going to look over there, why don't we look here and say, all right, within your own house, Christianity, you have a civil war that is ongoing. You have Christians, and I'm using air quotes, who are seeking to take over government and rule through that means, mm-hmm. to govern in a way that they think God would do that looks wholly different from the Jesus that we see in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Fix your house,
sure.
before you're talking about these organizations that are doing all these other things. Sure. Why isn't God, the God that's telling you these things, inviting you
right.
to be just as loud and boisterous and denouncing these other members of your faith that are reflecting poorly on your faith and your God?
And I think one of the parts to that, and this is not me defending, it's just kind of looking at it with trying my best to look at it with clear lenses. I think one of the things that happened in American Christianity is Christianity got Americanized. And a part of that is it has become individualistic. And you are looking at it as you should, that Christianity is a global faith, and we are connected one to another, and we are connected to our Savior who cares about such things. But one of the shadows of American evangelicalism is that we have personalized and then privatized our faith. And so what you're saying is, why isn't your God speaking about that over there? And what people are saying is, well, these are personal convictions, and I can't, and so they, what we do is we prioritize, well, this is what's going on with me over this is what's going on with them. And I think, like you do probably, that we have to hold both of those things together. And so what you're describing is, well, let's talk about that over there. And what a lot of Christians, good, bad, or indifferent, probably all three, what a lot of Christians would do is start with, well, this is what's going on with me. And that's what I'm, again, a lot of the videos that we've seen is, well, this is how the Holy Spirit has convicted me, and this is what I need to do, and this is why, and then you need to do what I need to do. And so I think the issue, one of the issues at least, is the privatization, the personalization, my personal walk with Jesus. And that is not, That's an American Christianity, not necessarily a biblical Christianity.
So we could walk through the history of that, through the First Great Awakening, the mm-hmm. Second Great Awakening, and why that is. But I would simply ask the question, then
that
why
would take
not,
us all the way off what right. we're actually talking about. But
why,
yes.
but why not denounce that, though? Because mm-hmm. these things that we want to hold up as a personal relationship with Jesus, you could have that. But also that God, mm-hmm. when you try to legislate according to that God, or you try to hold these things up that God said for other people as if they don't have a personal
yeah.
connection, then you start to have a problem. And Christianity does not hold these things well intentioned, where you can have a personal relationship with God that does not affect other people, mm-hmm. because you're still going to go out and maybe evangelize, or you're still going to go out and do these things that bump into other people with faith in their lives and personal relationships that don't have anything to do with you. So you want to claim personal relationship and also wield that relationship in a way that impacts others.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that we need to denounce, it's our idols. The problem is we pick and choose the idols we want to hold on to and the idols that we want to denounce. And usually the ones that we denounce are the ones that are in style to denounce in any given season or any given situation. And so right now it's kind of in style to, you know, to fire up the podcast and say that I'm denouncing a Black Greek letter organization. I would like to see us really examine our heart on a lot of the things that have become idols, including our podcasts, including our social media followings, including those things that we claim are tools for spiritual growth or communication of the word, when really they've become idols to us. They're, you know, I would love to see us embrace holiness, and a lot of that is just not in style to denounce. Mm-hmm. And so I think idolatry is where we begin, and idolatry begins in the heart, and we need to all examine our heart and where we are with the God that we claim to follow, and understanding who he is through the scriptures that we claim to be his communication, his word to us.
And also, if you're black, please make sure that your God is not anti-black.
Yeah.
In the things that you say and do.
Absolutely.
Fix your God. So
I would say that differently, but yeah.
Hey, that's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna be simple. Fix your God, because your God ain't look too good. There's a theologian, William R. Jones. He wrote a book. Is God a white racist?
Mm.
And it was a tough question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, your God is behaving like that. If these are the things that you're doing, you're saying that God is doing. So
we all have cultural lenses, man. And I think we're not honest enough about how we see a perfect God through our imperfect lenses. What scripture says, that we see through a glass dimly. And the dimness is the lenses through which we see him. And so while I might have a personal struggle saying fix your God, I do believe that we need to fix our lenses, and we got to be honest with how much of our American evangelical lenses were given to us by colonizers who don't love us or our culture. I think that's a very, very important conversation that we got to have across the board. And as best as we can, honor the God of Scripture and recognize how we see him, and those are two things, as we both have said today, that we have to hold in tension.
The last thing I'll say is, we need to be fair that people have other interests beyond their beliefs, whether in their organizations mm-hmm. or their faith, and they impact how they move on this conversation. Mm-hmm. So you as a pastor would lean more towards the faith. Someone who has denounced and has a ministry, and I'm not air quoting that, I'm actually mm-hmm. saying that I'm half air quoting it, but has a ministry around denouncing, would not be apt to accept a counter argument quickly. Yeah. It may take some time to sit with it, if they ever come to a realization at all. Mm-hmm. But people have different things, especially when money is tied to those things, and their living that they make is impacted by how they move and speak about those things. Sure. Those things affect these arguments. So I say that to say, stop arguing with people on the internet. They're not going to change.
Right.
They have various interests that is forcing them not to change mm-hmm. in that moment. So during this time, during this election season, just be careful. You don't have to watch everything. You don't have to engage everything. You can be fine. But we're here to, I guess, highlight there's no conflict between these organizations and your faith mm-hmm. unless you choose to create one.
Right. Well said.
So that's what we have for First Impulse. This is a much longer conversation than we may consider extending on another platform, but for First Impulse, I am Mike Richardson. Thank you, Bobby Madden.
My pleasure.